Blog Talk Radio.
Coming at you with music and fun. And if you're not careful, you may learn something before it's done.
Welcome to this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call on Sunday. On this Sunday, October 23rd, 2011, as I take you for the next 60 minutes, starting to discuss the world of sports, a busy show, a lot to talk about, a lot to do. I'm, of course, your host, Cyril Quinn. And as always, the call number is 347-215-6180. Follow me at you can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/WilliamGiro or hit me up on Facebook at facebook.com/CyrilQuinn. For my Blog Talk Radio audience, I'm on currently on the chat line, so certainly at any time you can hit me up with any questions, comments that you may have. But we begin with the aforementioned Fat Albert. And he had a good time last night. Albert Pujols delivering one of the great, the greatest postseason performance of all time, possibly, and definitely in World Series history, with his three home run, six RBI, five hit night. He turned a close game into an absolute laugher, and he also took baseball off the hook, and I'll explain that in a couple of minutes. But this is why Pujols asked for $300 million because of a performance like that. You know, it was just one of those performances that you know Michael Jordan, 35 points in the first half against Portland, game two. Reggie Jackson, with the three home runs. Back with the Yankees in 77, I believe it was 77 World Series against the Dodgers. It was just one of those performances that you just sit back and just say, and you were basically an awestruck. I mean, he was on every pitch. He ended up, I think he might have got retired once. I think he was 5-for-6. He's always hitting the postseason. I mean, that's all there is to it. He's always hitting the postseason. The balls he hit last night, The Ogando ball was the one that kind of just took all the air out of the stadium. When he hit that ball, it was still a game. It was 8-6. Texas was in it. I thought Texas was going to win because I didn't think St. Louis could win a slugfest with them. How wrong, I've certainly been dead wrong about that. But that shot was, when he hit that ball, the first thing I thought about was Brad Lidd shot that he hit in the NLCS back in 2005. That's exactly what it reminded me of. And just how not only the magnitude of the home run, but just how quiet the stadium got when he hit it. I mean, it was a no doubter. That ball, as soon as it left, it was just a matter of how far it was going to go. So, again, he delivers just one of the great performances in the greatest World Series performances in Major League Baseball history. And, the Cardinals are going to win this series because two reasons. Number one, Texas's bullpen, which had been just basically unhittable and had been the story coming into this series, they can't get any outs now. They can't get any outs. They've St. Louis has gotten to their bullpen, and that aura, any fear that might that any team might have had with the Texas bullpen, that's done. That's done. And it seems to me that Texas is, you know, this is Texas' lack of starting pitching, or their lack of having one guy being called that, you know, an ace, has caught up with them. You know, all season long, people wonder, including myself, you know, how Texas would be able to replace, if they would at all, if they would be able to replace Cliff Lee. And, you know, of course, through the regular season, you can mask, you know, not having that true number one starter. But in the postseason, not having that number one guy, you know, is certainly going to rear its ugly head. I mean, the Cardinals have it. As I watched again, watched the Pujols-Ogando home run, which was, again, just an absolute moonshot of a home run. The Cardinals have it, you know, with Chris Carpenter. You know, he's a guy who is a, you know, though not having big-time stats, you know, look at his postseason record. Guy's got 7 career postseason wins. He can, you know, you saw what he did in Game 5 against Philadelphia. And, again, I underestimated, you know, the Cardinals' offense. The Cardinals had, all year long, Cardinals have had the best offense in the National League. I mean, you talk about these young guys that they have coming up with Alan Craig and David Freese. These guys are hitting the postseason like, you know, they're getting big hit after big hit. And as of right now, you know, the Cardinals' offense, you know, Berkman's gotten some big hits. Holiday swinging the bat well. You throw in Pujols. I mean, they have 5 guys going right now. And there's nothing right now that Texas can do about it. I mean, you have Pujols, Holiday, Berkman, Freeze, and Alan Craig, all are swinging the bats well. I mean, last night everybody swung the bat well, but all those guys are swinging the bats well. Texas, on the other hand, you know, again, that, you know, Josh Hamilton is not being himself. I mean, you have, for the most part, you know, I know Michael Young, you know, had a home run last night, but for the most part, he hasn't been himself. And again, it always comes down to the pitching. And right now, you know, St. Louis's bullpen has been better than Texas's bullpen. And there was no way, I thought that coming into the series, Texas had an advantage at the bullpen. There was no way Texas was going to win the series if St. Louis's bullpen outpitched Texas's bullpen. It just wasn't going to happen. And you combine that with just what Albert Pujols and David Freese have been doing, is, you know, I can see Texas winning one of these next 2 games, but, you know, I think this thing ends, in my opinion, I think this series will be over in 6 games. But, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens over the course of the next couple of days. Game 4 tonight, Game 5 on Monday night. Just getting started here on this last edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call on a special Sunday, a Sunday edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. 347-215-6180 is your call number. 8 minutes after the 9 o'clock hour. When we return, a big night in college football. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. We'll be right back. to this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call, Cyril Quinn, on this, again, special Sunday edition of the Wake Up Call, 347-215-6180 is your call number. If not for the exploits of one Albert Pujols, the story of, you know, yesterday, last night would have been what transpired in Lansing, Michigan. Michigan State taking on an unbeaten Wisconsin team, a game where, you know, really was a game of runs. I mean, Wisconsin jumped out on Michigan State early. Michigan State came back and took control of the game. Michigan came back, took control of the game, was up 31-17, thought the game was basically over. Then Russell Westbrook, Michigan State gets, Wisconsin gets two fourth-quarter touchdowns, 31-31. You're thinking that the game is going into overtime. And, of course, you had that crazy Hail Mary, where I have to admit, I thought the receiver, who was a former quarterback, I thought the receiver initially, on the, you know, when I first looked at it, I thought he was in. And I thought it definitely was the right call. He was ruled down at the one-yard line. Of course, they had instant replay. They reversed the call, and just a heartbreaking loss for Wisconsin. And, you know, they forget about their championship hopes go out the window with that. This is where Wisconsin lost this game, though, at. It wasn't with that Hail Mary, as crazy as it may sound. Where they lost that game was on their final possession, when they had an opportunity to run the clock out, basically, and give Michigan State at least 20 to 30 seconds less than what Michigan State would have had after the Wisconsin score. Wisconsin goes down the field like it was nothing to score the game-tying touchdown. They converted a 3rd-and-9. They had a 42-yard pass play. Yet they decide, you know, to throw the ball, which, again, gave Michigan State time. They had the ball inside the 5-yard line easily. I think you make two things. You run the ball. I understand the whole premise of, yes, you have to score the touchdown, and that's the most important thing. I get that. But the way they were moving the ball, they had some big runs in the during that particular series when they had the ball. There's nothing to me that would have said that they would not have gotten scored a touchdown by running the ball, to be honest with you. I know it's a classic second guess, but they gave Michigan State too much time back, especially in a game where all Michigan State needed was a field goal to win. You know, I thought they made a big mistake with that. The Hail Mary, I mean, you know, it was just one of those plays that just is one of those crazy plays. I mean, it rarely happens. Why they call it a Hail Mary? Great college football game. Again, a game that went back and forth. Wisconsin blew their chance. That was it. You know, they are eliminated from any, you know, championship consideration in terms of the national championship. Still obviously have a chance to go to the Rose Bowl. These two teams, more than likely, unless something crazy happens, will meet in the Big Ten championship for the right to go to the Rose Bowl. But as far as the national championship goes, Wisconsin's finished. Wisconsin, they're done with that. Michigan State now on a nice little roll here, even though they have one loss. They lost to Notre Dame, but they've beaten Michigan, Ohio State, and Wisconsin. Wisconsin here in the month of October. I mean, so they've had a big October and have a chance to have, you know, a great rest of the regular season. Michigan State is very good. They are a very good team. I didn't think that their defense came in playing great over the course of coming into this game. I know the 31 points didn't do it any justice, but Michigan State is better than I thought they were. The other big story in college football last night was what happened down in Norman, Oklahoma, where the Sooners had their 39-game home winning streak snapped by Texas Tech. This is something I didn't see coming. I didn't see coming at all. Oklahoma was playing good football. Everybody was talking about, you know, you had people talking about Oklahoma's, you know, defense, and Texas Tech comes in there and lights Oklahoma's defense up. Texas Tech was up 30-9. This game had, you know, some weather issues where they had like an hour and 34-minute delay. To me, I don't know what, you know, both teams had to go through it, so I don't want, certainly don't want to hear any excuses. And you haven't heard any excuses from Oklahoma. Texas Tech came in there, took it to them, was up 31-7, and then held on for dear life to win 41-38. And to me, you know, you can eliminate Oklahoma from a national championship berth. So Oklahoma still, you know, if Oklahoma, it doesn't, or I shouldn't say that. Oklahoma still has a chance because their schedule is brutal down the stretch. They still have Oklahoma State, which should be undefeated when they play them. Kansas State, they'll play them. Kansas State could be top 10. If they don't lose before they play Oklahoma, they could easily be top 10. So Oklahoma is not all the way eliminated from a national championship consideration. Though not having a Big 12 championship certainly hurts them. Hurts their chances. So you look at the grand picture, the big picture now. The winners last night, the big winners yesterday in college football were Stanford and Clemson. Those were your big winners. Let's put Kansas State aside. I know they're undefeated, but their schedule is murder. They will have at least two or three losses before the season ends. Forget about Boise State, who's undefeated. Forget about Houston. Right now, there are, I would say, six teams that have a chance at the winning a national championship. You have LSU, Alabama, Stanford, Oklahoma State, Clemson, and Oklahoma in that order. And again, Stanford and Clemson are your big winners because those teams, to me, especially Clemson, needed some help. Needed some of these undefeated teams, like Wisconsin, like Oklahoma, to lose in order to have a chance to play in New Orleans. Now Stanford is it to me, Alabama, LSU. Because that game is going to be coming up in a couple of weeks. Both teams are going to be coming off byes. That's the game everybody's pointing to as an elimination game. I still don't think I'm not quite sure that will be an elimination game considering the respect that the SEC gets. But we know that's the game of the year right now, you know, game of the century with those two teams meeting off. So one of those teams is going to have a loss. Stanford is in much better shape than Clemson. Two big reasons is number one, they have a tough schedule. They have a favorable schedule from a standpoint of they still have Oregon and USC. USC beat Notre Dame last night. USC more than likely will be ranked by the time they play Stanford, which will help them in the computer rankings, Harris Poll, and in terms of BCS. And Oregon, which has played great since losing to LSU, probably is going to be in the top 7 to 8. So if Stanford runs the table, I think Stanford will play for the national championship against the winner of the LSU-Alabama game. Clemson needs a lot of help. Clemson and Oklahoma, of course, need a ton of help. Now, Oklahoma runs the table, beats Kansas State and Oklahoma State. They'll give themselves a chance. Clemson, unfortunately, they have South Carolina, they have Georgia Tech, and then, you know, hopefully for their sake, they will have Virginia Tech and they beat ACC championship. Even if they have all those teams, and let's say South Carolina and Virginia Tech are, you know, top 10 teams, they still going to need a ton of help to make it to that championship, to make it to that national championship game. I feel they will need Stanford to lose. They would have needed Stanford, Alabama, and Oklahoma to lose. All three of those teams to lose. See, I think the loser of the LSU-Alabama game, LSU-Alabama, is only going to lose one. One of those teams is going undefeated. I think the winner certainly will play for the national championship. And for all we know, listen, the respect that the SEC gets, the loser might play for the national championship as well. Let's say you get a classic LSU-Alabama game. I mean, it's overtime. It's just a classic game. losers, the loser of that game is not going to fall far in the rankings, it being a 1-2 game, especially if it's LSU. LSU loses a road game to Alabama, considering the teams that they've beaten. The thing that will hurt them is that that will put them out. They won't get to play in the SEC championship. If Alabama loses to LSU, Alabama still, you know, loses a classic game to LSU, then of course they won't play in the SEC championship as well. So that'll be the thing that will hurt that loser. But if it's a classic game and these other teams don't go, you know, Stanford gets picked off or Clemson gets picked off, don't be surprised, you know, to see a rematch in the national championship between LSU and Alabama, because those are the two best teams in the country. But Stanford right now is in great shape. They have the schedule, they have the fact that Clemson, and they have Andrew Luck, and everybody wants to see Andrew Luck either take on Alabama or LSU. Everybody wants to see that. Everybody wants to see the great quarterback taking on the great SEC defense and see what he does. So a big weekend of college football. Wisconsin, Oklahoma go down. LSU, Alabama continue to roll. They will meet, of course, November 5th. They both have a week off before that game. So that certainly will be, again, a classic game. Again, that deserves to be called the game of the century. Still to come on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake-Up Call, we'll have the Redskin Report. We'll also get into a little NBA, and we'll have, of course, our Week 7 picks in a league where no contract is guaranteed. We'll be right back. After the 9 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake-Up Call. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn, as we discuss the world of sports. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. The Redskin Report. Skins come in at 3-2, coming off a tough loss. Last week to the Philadelphia Eagles, a game where they that should have been a blowout, to be honest with you. A game where they absolutely did not play well. You had, you had Grossman with the four interceptions. John Beck was named the starter, nobody surprised, on Wednesday. He's going to be playing behind a battered offensive line. Here's what the offensive line is going to look like for today. You'll have Sean Locklear at left tackle. Will Montgomery will be at center. Left guard, replacing Corey Lichtensteiger. Of course, Jamal Locklear will replace Jamal Brown, who's moved to right tackle, and Brown is replacing. Is moving in for the injured Trent Williams. The only guy that's in place is Chris Chester, He's the only guy that's you know, was where he was at last week. And Eric Cook starts at center, of course, because they had to move Will Montgomery to left guard. So some musical chairs on the offensive line for the Washington Redskins. We'll see how they hold up. I don't think the Redskins offensive line played poorly as far as pass protection last week. Now, they couldn't run the ball. You know, that's where it showed up. And they really didn't try to run the ball. They ran the ball 14 times. So we are interested to see how they hold up against the Carolina Panthers, which the Panthers are not known for their defense. I mean, everybody has ran on the Panthers. The Panthers' defense has been awful over the course of the game. I think the Redskins are going to play well today, to be honest with you. I think that, you know, the defense has been the one constant over the course of the season. Given the Redskins, you know, only giving up about 16.5 points a game. I think they can throw some stuff. I know Cam Newton has had flashes of brilliance, but he has been prone to interceptions lately. I could see him having a 2 or 3 turnover game against Jim Haslett's defense. And again, I think the Redskins are going to play a good game. They are they are underdogs in this game, which is, you know, not surprised at Carolina. You know, Duke John Becker quarterback, and this begins a key stretch. This begins the key stretch of the Redskins season. This 3-4 game stretch here, where, you know, at Carolina, at Buffalo, home to San Francisco. You know, the Redskins need to get one of these next two games on the road, and, you know, see what happens against San Francisco at home in a couple of weeks. Again, Carolina against Steve Smith could be a problem, especially if Otagwe doesn't play. He's going to be a game-time decision. Still have not heard whether or not he's going to play, but again, he's going to be more than likely a game-time decision. They need him, again, I guess, because Steve Smith can definitely hurt them down the field. The running game, they don't run the ball. I mean, and it's not like they can't, but they just absolutely don't. They have two very good running backs with D'Angelo Williams and James Stewart, and they choose just not to run the ball. I mean, there have been games this year with D'Angelo Williams has had, like, you know, 10 carries for like 90 yards. So, you know, they are going to put the ball in Cam Newton's hands, sink or swim. And to me, that falls, you know, that bodes well for the Redskins, because as spectacular as he is, as great as we know he's going to be, he's still a rookie quarterback. So we'll see what the Redskins can bounce back off that loss last week to the Philadelphia Eagles and be a team that they frankly should beat. I mean, these are one of these games. If you want to make the playoffs, if you're serious about making the playoffs, you have to win this game. And again, don't be deceived by Carolina's record at 1-5. Carolina has played well this season. They've been in a lot of close games. They played the Packers tough. They played the Saints tough. They played the Falcons. They played teams. They've been in every game going to the fourth quarter. They've been in every single game. Lost to the Bears in a close game. So that one, they are not as bad as their 1-5 record, as their 1-5 record shows, but they're still 1-5. So they've found a way. They've had a tough time in terms of closing games out. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Cyril Quinn on his latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. We'll be right back with some NBA and also Week 7 picks. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. On this Sunday, October 23rd, 2011, 32 minutes after the 9 o'clock hour, as I take you to the top of the hour, take you to 10 o'clock this morning. NBA, of course, is at a standstill with the lockout. They have some meetings this week. Some of the same stuff with your line. You had the players announce this 2-week European tour that will take place within the first 2 weeks of the season that has been already canceled. And basically, you had a situation where they're really going at it hard over the basketball related income. And at this point, if you're the players, you either need to make a decision of how far are you really willing to go. Because I get the sense that the players, again, I've laid out the blueprint. I feel like I've laid out the blueprint for the players. That is to start their own league, tell the owners, listen, we'll start our own league, and we'll do the barnstorming tour, and we'll take the money and give it to spread it out amongst the rank and file until you guys get your act together. So owners are losing money, players are making money in terms of rank and file, and we'll do this for a year. Because the bottom line is, to me, and I go back to the episode of one of my favorite shows, Breaking Bad, called Half Measures. Players are taking half measures right now. This 2-week European tour, it's not a strategic move in the lockout. It is a promotional stunt, and it's a promotional stunt to do, and it basically serves no purpose. If the players want to somehow come out on top. Or even salvage something in this lockout, or get something, or not just totally get ran over by the owners. They're going to have to go all in. You can't have this dipping your toe in the pool. They're going to go all in and take the owners and call the owners bluff of hey, we'll sit out a year. The owners don't believe the players are willing to lose a year's worth of game checks. They don't believe it. They absolutely don't believe it. Again, if I'm a player, if I'm one of the top players, I'm one of the superstars, I have a meeting with everybody, rank and file included, and say, look, we're gonna do the tour. We're gonna give you guys most of the money in terms of rank and file, as long as we stick together. And if it takes a year to sit out, then so be it. Because despite the fact that some of these owners are billionaires, let me tell you something. Rich people don't like losing money. And I don't care if it's, forget about billions, I don't care if it's thousands of dollars. That's how they become rich. Because they account for every single dollar that they spend, earn, and what have you. And these owners will crack at the thought of losing 41 home dates. They will absolutely crack and not give the players everything they want, but give in. Right now, the owners want to take everything. They want the hard salary cap. They want the 50-50 on the basketball related income. They want everything, with the exception of not having guaranteed contracts. That's the only thing they're not asking for. And again, but the players are too much too worried. The players are not united. To me, there's a separation between the rank and file and the superstars. And the players right now are kind of posturing and trying to play the media game, trying to play the public relations game. That's not business. The owners have had this plan in mind for years now. You heard Billy Hunter say it, that he thought that the owners were thinking about this 2 or 3 years ago. And you know, he's right. He's right. And that the owners would believe that they could break up the union by locking them out into the season. But so either, you know, if you're the players, either you do the barnstorming and generate revenue and, you know, spread it out amongst your, you know, amongst the rank and file, or you just sign a deal. You know, I mean, that's all there is to it. Or you just sign a deal. Other than that, you're just wasting time. Because the biggest mistake that the players are making is, and the NBA is making as a whole, is thinking that they're more relevant than what they really are. You're not, in the sports consciousness, you're not that relevant. You're not relevant at all right now. I mean, I can care less about the NBA right now. NBA season will be starting, you know, basically this time, you know, a week from tomorrow, I believe the NBA season will be starting, or a week from Tuesday, the NBA season will be starting. I really don't care. I haven't missed the preseason. You know, it's all about the NFL. You have, of course, the World Series. You have college basketball starting off in a couple of weeks. Nobody cares. I mean, and to be honest with you, nobody would care about the NBA until you know, April. You know, football is going to take you to February. You have college basketball in March, basically in February and March. Then the NBA with the NBA playoffs in April. And even with that, you still have some, the baseball open. Baseball, you know, opening and starting this season. Yeah, I mean, this idea about how great this postseason was, you had one seven-game series, okay? You had one. You didn't have an epic series. Yeah, Oklahoma City and Memphis. That was your one seven-game series. Yeah, the finals were compelling. Miami went down, but it wasn't a classic series. It was very good. It wasn't classic. So, you know, we'll see what happens with the NBA. There's a thought that they still might, you know, even though the first 2 weeks has been canceled, that there's a very slim chance that they can get in all 82 games. I don't see it. But the next big deadline will be Christmas. If they cancel Christmas games, then, you know, the season will be really in doubt, because that's really the opening, the showcase opening for the NBA is Christmas. It's Christmas Day. That's a big day for the league. 347-215-6180 is your call number. We'll be right back on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call with NFL Picks. We'll be right back. number 7 in the league with no contract is guaranteed a 3-pack this morning, because frankly, there are not no good games to pick. Oh my goodness. Hey, listen up, fellas. If you have something to do, if there's one weekend, if there's one Sunday, and then if there's one NFL Sunday where you really have something to do, this would probably be the Sunday to get it done. This is the worst set of games I've ever seen in my lifetime. Well, you might ask why? Well, Eagles, bye week. Giants, bye week. Patriots, bye week. Buffalo, bye week. Cincinnati, San Francisco. Now listen, nobody knew that San Francisco, Cincinnati, or Buffalo would be as good as they are. Nobody knew that. So I can't blame the NFL for that faux pas. But you can't have the Giants, Eagles, and New England out the same week. Come on. One of those teams or two of those teams has to be playing. You can't have all three of those teams on a bye week. Where are the games at? You know what the Fox game of the week is? Minnesota and Green Bay. Christian Pond is starting. Starting for the first time. But we continue on in the league where no contract is guaranteed. Game number 1, upset special right off the bat. Atlanta traveling down to the Motor City to take on the 5-1 Lions, who are coming off a tough loss at the hands of the San Francisco 49ers, who are also 5-1. This is a game Detroit's favored by 3.5 points. I have not been impressed with Atlanta all season long. I told you I don't think that they're going to make the playoffs, in my opinion. But as we all know, the NFL is a game of matchups, and frankly, Atlanta's catching Detroit at the right time. Number 1, number 2, Michael Turner should have a day against that Detroit run defense, which has been nothing short of just awful this season. The Bears and 49ers ran for over 300 yards total against Detroit's Detroit's run defense. So all the talk about the great pass rush and Sue and Vandenbosch, they cannot stop the run. Javid Best is out, so expect Matthew Stafford to throw the ball another 40 to 45 times. I think Turner has a big day. And I think that Detroit is going to start to realize that, it's one thing being, the team that everybody likes. It's another thing being the team that everybody is going after. Right now, they have a target. They're still a young team. They're still a team that's trying to deal with prosperity, with success. You can see them going to a little bit of a mini slump here. 2 out of 3 losses, 3 out of 5 losses. Still think they're going to make the playoffs. But I like Atlanta in this game for my upset special of the week. 27-24. Expect Turner to go for anywhere from 125 to 150 yards. I don't expect Atlanta to throw the ball a lot. Julio Jones is doubtful for this game, so you're going to see a lot of Tony Gonzalez and Roddy White. Game number 2. We travel down to New Orleans, the Big Easy, home of this year's college football national championship. The Saints are 14-point favorites against the Indianapolis Colts. And you say to yourselves, besides the fact that there are not that many games to pick, why would you choose this game to pick? I'll tell you why. 14 points is just, when you see 14 points in the end, it's just your eyes light up. You're like, who's like, it's the worst, it's the worst team playing the best team? It's too many points. It's too many points. Indianapolis, anybody that's watching Indianapolis, now Indianapolis is 0-6. And they're certainly right at the head of the list for the Andrew Luck sweepstakes. But they have not played bad football. They've been in almost every game. They play as hard as any team in the league. I don't, again, the Saints, you know, Saints coming off a loss. Drew Brees, Sean Payton with the knee injury, he's going to be up in the box, up in the booth instead of on the field. I think Indianapolis for at least three quarters or maybe a half keeps this thing within striking distance. Saints win by double digits, 31-20, but I like Indianapolis. I'll take Indianapolis with the points. I just got a feeling about this game. I just saw it. 14. Now, I might be crazy. Saints can go out there and beat them, 40-7. But I'm not in love with the Saints defense. Indianapolis certainly will try to run the ball to keep Drew Brees off the field. I think Indianapolis will. Now, it's a game that you actually wouldn't do. That you absolutely don't want to watch, especially on Sunday night. But I think Indianapolis will keep this thing respectable. I'll take the Saints to win, but again, Indianapolis with the points. Game of the week, and it was hard. You were very hard pressed to find a game of the week, but we were able to. With some due diligence, were able to find that game of the week. Chargers traveling to Jersey to take on the New York Jets. Jets trying to follow up a Monday night win versus Miami. Chargers are 2-point favorites over the Jets, despite playing on the road. Now, I have not been impressed with neither one of these teams over the course of the first 6 weeks. I said the Chargers are one of the worst-looking 4-1 teams in the NFL, but they're 4-1. Jets, again, to me, still have issues in terms of running the football. They still have some major issues with running the football. A big plus for the Chargers today will be the return of one Antonio Gates. Now, I don't know how many plays Gates will be able to play. I don't know what he can give them, but just him being on the field gives the defense, Rex Ryan and company, something else to think about. Last time he played against the Jets, he had a big day, 8 catches, 132 yards, though I wouldn't expect that. I do expect him to open things up for the likes of Malcolm Floyd and Vince Jackson, and also the running game. Now, remember the thing about this year's Chargers. They're 4-1, and they haven't really played great football. They're 4-1, and Phillip Rivers is having a subpar year. Phillip Rivers is due for a big game. Ryan Matthews has played very well this year, and I'm still just wondering how the Jets can score points without, a defensive touchdown or without a touchdown without special teams points. I'll take the Chargers to win this game 23-20. Very close game. It'll be a very close game because the Chargers don't blow out anybody. They keep everybody in the game. And the Jets defense is good enough to keep the Chargers somewhat at bay. So I would be surprised if the Chargers ran away and hit. I don't see that happening. But I do like the Chargers in this game. I think Phillip Rivers, again, is due for a big game. So there you go. Atlanta upset special over Detroit. New Orleans to beat Indianapolis, but Indianapolis with the points, 14 points is just too many for my liking. And the Chargers over the Jets. Don't like the Jets offense right now, and I think they will not turn over the Chargers enough to for that to be a difference. So there you go for your week 7 picks in the league where no contract is guaranteed. Welcome back to this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call on Sunday, as we discuss the world of sports 52 minutes after the 9 o'clock hour. And we're going to end where we began, as of course with World Series Game 3, St. Louis knocking around Texas 16-7. And of course, the story of the game and of this World Series right now is Albert Pujols, who had a night of all nights, one of the great postseason performances, World Series performances of all time. 5 for 6, 3 home runs, 6 RBIs, 14 total bases. He had hits in 4 straight innings. The biggest blow of the 3, of course, came against Alexi Ogando, with the game still being well in doubt, 8-6. 3-1 home run to make it 11-6 in the top of the 6th inning. St. Louis, you know, just did whatever they wanted to as far as offensively. Texas bullpen gives up 11 runs, and you know, Texas, just the starting pitching not going 5, 6, 7 innings, other than Kobe Lewis, has, I think, caught up with them, and also the fact that St. Louis can just flat out hit. I mean, St. Louis, listen, you know, that Philadelphia, we should have saw this coming, so to speak, from the Philadelphia series. I mean, when you go through the Phillies and they're pitching, everybody else in terms of their pitching staff seems like batting practice, and that's been the case with the Rangers. I mean, they've knocked around. Now the first two games were, you know, low scoring, close. But, you know, we knew the runs were going to pick up once the series shifted to Texas with the stadium. That's a great hitting ballpark, the weather, the whole nine. But they knocked around Milwaukee, and last night they knocked around Texas. Pujols, not only did he have the historic game, but he also saves baseball from another embarrassing umpire call. You had top of the fourth inning, it's still a nothing-nothing game. Ron Kopa calls Matt Holliday out safe on a double play, on a throw from Ian Kinsler that pulled Mike Napoli off the bag. But despite the fact, now the ball sailed on Kinsler. Napoli was able to recover and tag Holliday easily before he got to first base. Despite that, he caught the ball. The ball pulled him off first base, but he still, in one swoop, caught the ball, tagged Holliday on the shoulder, and Holliday was out by at least a step. Easy. I mean, I saw it even in real time when I first saw it. You know, he's out. There was no doubt. It was just a no-brainer. And instead of having 2 outs and nobody on, you know, you had Holliday on with 1 out, and that triggered a 5-run St. Louis inning. You know, I'm not a big proponent of a big advocate of instant replay. The game is already slow enough, but you know, this is the World Series, and on home run calls, of course, certain things you have to get right, and you cannot miss a play in the World Series. It is embarrassing for baseball of this magnitude. Now, had that game been 8-6. 7-5, had it not been for Albert Pujols, this is what we would have been talking about. Ron Kopa missing, you know, putting Ron Kopa in the same vein as back in 1985 with the World Series, with the 1985, not the World Series, but NLCS with Dodgers and the Cardinals. I mean, you can't miss a call of that magnitude. Number one. And number two, again, what is instant replay for? I thought the whole premise was to get the calls right. So baseball caught a major break, and should be thanking Albert Pujols right now, because that would have been the number one story, if not for Pujols' heroics. Again, you know, 5 for 6, 3 home runs, 6 RBIs. You also got some good performances out of David Freese, Berkman. Alan Craig continues to hit the ball. He set the tone with a home run, with a home run in the first inning. Texas just doesn't have enough starting pitching, and you can only count on your bullpen, so it's hard to count on a bullpen to carry you through the postseason. You got to have at least one dominant starter. You know, I remember the Phillies won that championship in 2008 with a great offense, Cole Hamels, and a dominant bullpen. The key was, you know, Cole Hamels. You know, Kobe Lewis has been good, but he hasn't been, you know, they haven't had, again, that one stopper, that one dominant starter that has been able to, you know, take the bull by the horns and stop a team and stop a team cold in his tracks. And it's started to catch up with him. And, again, I expect this series to end in six games. I think, you know, I can see Texas winning one of these next two games. And it returning to St. Louis, but I don't expect St. Louis. I'd be almost shocked if St. Louis did not finish the series out in six games. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. Thank you for joining me. Remember, stay tuned later on, 5 p.m. for the Redskin Report. We'll break down the game against Carolina. Also, we'll have tomorrow evening the NFL show at 7 p.m. Talk about week seven, look ahead to week eight, where the Giants, Eagles, and Patriots will be packing action. And we'll talk about that. And certainly also next week, you'll have also the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. I have a new feature coming up on the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call for my fantasy football friends. So stay tuned towards that. Have a great, great Sunday evening, Sunday, big sports day, NFL action. A lot of rookie quarterbacks, a lot of new quarterbacks, some new quarterbacks starting off. You know, you'll see John Beck, Tim Tebow, A.J. Philly. A lot of different quarterbacks in the NFL today. So certainly something to keep your eye on. I'll see you later on today. So long.